Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praises due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praises to Allah. All unqualified praises due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ and revealed in this last ayah. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَةً وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ. This day have I completed, my favor upon you and perfected my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and He has power over everything. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad is His slave servant and His messenger, and we pray, O Allah, send Your prayers, Your peace, and Your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, upon his family, wa sahbihi, upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أما بعد, ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا, إن مع العسر يسرا, فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. صدق الله العظيم. This is Surat Al-Inshirah, Surat Al-Shahr, different labels for it, the expansion. And it says, have we not expanded for you your breast and removed from you the burden, the one which burdened your back, and raised high the esteem in which you are held? So verily, with every difficulty, there is relief. Verily, with every difficulty, there is relief. Therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, still labor hard, and to your Lord turn all your attention. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sadaqallah al-Azim. Let's say at the beginning that we're just going to cap off this subject matter today. You know, I always tell you, it's like, I don't know when it's going to end, I don't know where it's going to end, etc. But for now, this one is going to be the end for now. And inshallah, we pick it up at another time for detail. My hope and my prayer after I finish these prefatory comments is that at least give you an abstract walkthrough of each of the verses in principle. It will not be a detail. That's the capping off. It's like, okay, detail. Here's my humor to myself when I resolved upon that decision. I say, hey, look, stop trying to swallow the ocean. It's like, come on now. You see how much it is. Why are you going to think you're going to keep it? And the question is, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time, right? I said, come on, man. You just do that, and that's that for now. Mashallah. And so that's where we are. I do want to tell you that for today, as we're speaking right now, we did a series in 2022, Our Family, Our Future. I don't know how many elements were to that. It's maybe 13 or 14, maybe. But for what I won't be able to detail today, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio, February 11, 2022. I don't know if we, Vimeo should be on there. I don't know. I can't promise. The February 11, 2022 segment under the main heading, Our Family, Our Future. It gives details that I'm not going to be giving today. It's not my plan to give it today. But let me, in continuing, the cornerstone of everything, this is the woman. We're labeling it 11, but I've already told you this is kind of like the cap off of the woman. And here's the general definition, the general maxim that we've been operating upon and that we're striving to get people to subscribe to. And that is, the woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. The woman is an ayat to be read. The woman is a walking embodiment of life and what life is in its nature and how it should be responded to. That's kind of like the preamble to all of this, okay? And I'm going to read it one more time. The woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. The woman is an ayah to be read. The woman is a walking embodiment of life and what life is in its nature and how it should be responded to, okay? This chapter that we walked through is just one chapter that was selected to kind of be the holding place for the primary ideas related there. All right. So we're just going to walk through each of the verses, say something about them, and keep walking. So, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. All right. Oxytocin is a hormone and a neuropeptide produced in the hypothalamus and released in the pituitary gland. It plays a significant role in social bonding, sexual reproduction, childbirth, and the period after childbirth. Oxytocin, understand this, oxytocin, this is not oxycontin. So when you hear oxy, no. But there's an easy fall off to think that it's, I guess with the oxy label, must be related to it, after ask the professionals. But as relates to this, oxytocin is often called the love hormone because it is released when people bond socially or cuddle. Remember that, brothers? You know I'm not going to pass up slips of humor, right? It's also involved in maternal behaviors and is released in large amounts during labor, facilitating childbirth and lactation. The growth of the breasts during pregnancy, this can be seen as analogous to the expansion of the uterus during labor. So here you got two expansions there. Biology, we're talking about reading the signs. So, elem neshera lekasa, have we not expanded? So there's an expansion that happens there. While the pregnancy is happening, then when it's time for that baby to come out, another expansion comes, right? So I want you to see the connection. The expansion could also metaphorically relate to the emotional opening, to the emotional opening and the vastness of love a mother feels, catalyzed, meaning it's stimulated, it's amplified, it's activated, it's catalyzed by hormonal changes. This is just one chemical element, oxytocin. All right, so what is the message of this as relates to the woman as a sign? The woman as a sign to be read and as a symbol, as an example, which if we understand what's going on with her and make the translation to our personal lives, what does that mean for us? Reading it directly from what's being said here is that your breast has to expand. Your breast has to expand, you know. With men, it's talking about our heart, it's talking about our chest and all that. You know, so many things. There's a saying in the sports field, one of these sports talk shows, they say it with your chest. Say it with your, like you say it with your chest. It's like if someone, you know, has low self-esteem or low, you know, chest ain't like that. Someone greater self-esteem, they're either straight or it's out there like that, right? So expanding your breast is also speaking to us about courage, speaking to us about being open-hearted, speaking to us about being open to others. So then this is also a quality. Specifically, when we talk about sudur and we talk about sadarak, we talk about that, a translation that we want to apply to it here, is the heart. It's heart. It says sudur is going to, elam nashala laka sadarak is saying chest more first, right? But sudur is also connected with the heart. Right, so the expansion of the heart, and I just want to say to keep it simple and to keep it moving, the idea is about love, because that's what's happening in the mother to be, the expected mother. What's growing in her is also the love for what's growing in her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the chemistry suit that destiny. More and more and more, the chemicals that would cause her to be the mother that she must be in order for Allah's plan in the life of that child to continue in the direction he wants it to go, then the mother as a partner in this process, the biology is already fixed to do what it does. But now we as conscious beings have to take responsibility for the realization of these in real time. When I say that, that means, okay, God is already telling me, if I'm reading it right, I have to become more loving for what's growing in me. All right? Okay, well, that's for all of us. One of the things for all of us, we have to learn how to love more. We have to learn how to care more. I don't care how many times you've heard it from a church, the preacher, whatever. Hear it now. You got to learn how to love more. We have to learn how to care more. We have to be in the spirit of loving and caring. It's not always militancy and acquisition and protect myself from what these folks is trying to do. And come on now, you can hear all them Beatles songs, and you know they got the new movie out with Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's move on. I got to keep going. The prophet has already given us this. Let me say this too. It's not an oversimplification, but it is simple. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he is a living model of the Word of God. He is the Quran walking. All this technical stuff, quote unquote, I'm not diminishing anything I'm saying. I'm just trying to move on. Yeah, you can get the technical. Alhamdulillah, but he's from the Ummi. And his message is not just for the elite. His message is not just for the philosophers or for the intellectuals or for the scientists. The message is for the common person first and primarily, such that everybody can get it. But if, as was the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the understanding, it's a ma'ana bi qari'in, I'm not among those who are readers, right? I'm not among those who read. He's the ummi, the unlettered prophet. So it's for the, it's accessible to the common person. Quran, yes. But even absent the Quran, if you have the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to his reports, listen to his hadith, listen to his way of being, and imitate, quote unquote, emulate, better word, and emulate that, and you're going to get the scientific benefit that's inside of the practice. Example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the greeting is not complete without the handshake. Talking about men, obviously. Sisters, they can do that too among themselves. But the greeting is not complete without a handshake. Assalamu alaikum. There's a connection between what's the nerves in the palm of my hand and its connection with my heart. The vagus nerve, not Las Vegas. The vagus nerve. It's right, when I shake hands with you, there is a stimulation, a chemical stimulation going on in my body that brings about more love and brings about more sensitivity, how can you say, rapport. But what is that? That's just the hadith of the prophet. That's just the practice of the prophet that gives you the scientific benefit whether you know it or not. So just do what the prophet said. It's going to be fine. Let's move on this love. The prophet said, peace be upon him, none of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. He said, none of you are going to enter paradise until he believes. And none of you believe until you're motivated by love. Not motivated by jealousy, not motivated by envy, not motivated by revenge, not motivated by acquisition. Until you're motivated by love. So, When we do what the prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether we know it or not, this is an analogy I always use. You walk up to a vending machine, right? You walk up to a vending machine. Let's go back to the old vending machines. You know, you used to put coins in them. You put in the vending machine, and it would automatically give you what it's vending, okay? After you put in what you're obligated to put in, then it comes out automatically. Do you need to know all the mechanisms? Do you need to know all the details? Do you need to know all the hows, whys, and wherefores that makes this machine deliver to you whatever it is that you are paying for? No. Just do that first thing, and the machine does the rest. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do what he says do, and then the consequences that Allah has designed in that for as a benefit, as a consequence of that behavior, you're going to get those benefits. One real quick. Qul khayran aw liyasmut. The prophet, peace be upon him, he says, say what is good or keep quiet. Think that's a good practice? Let me tell you, brother, don't tell the sisters, but look, that hadith has to do with the food that's being served. That's the first place that it comes out. If you ain't got nothing good to say about the food, just don't say nothing. All right? But it applies to other things as well. All right, so the point is that the only point that I'm seeking to make right here is just if we would just practice what the don't worry. I don't know that grammar. I don't know how to read the Quran. I don't even know if the book is upside down when I'm looking at it. Look. Don't worry about that. You can read about the life of the prophet just like you read any other story. Just read his story, his seerah. Just read it and become familiar with his way of being. And your nature is going to connect and say, okay, what would the prophet do? Right? And be that way. Be that way, whether you technically understand it or not, because you're going to get the result. Because it's Deen al-Fitr. Our way of life is the way of life that's established in the pattern of nature. And if you behave in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam models for us, then you're going to get the benefit of that behavior from the creation itself. Yours, theirs, and its. It's the religion of nature. So be natural. Do what Allah has ordered for us to do. Let's move on. So, let's let that be verse 1. Oh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have to add this, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, if you want to increase love amongst you, increase giving gifts to each other. Do you think that that'll build more love among a group of people? They just give gifts. Well, it ain't my birthday, it ain't my anniversary. I didn't have no special achievement. No, I'm just giving you the gift out of love. To build the love. Right? Okay. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. So the idea is to expand the love, to grow the love. Remember, this is a sign in the woman, but it's a sign for the way that we, males and females, all have to be in order to get to where Allah wants us to be. That's just one sign. Read the sign. Be more loving. Be more caring. Embrace each other more. Number 2. Verse 2. أَلَمْ نَشْرَ لَكَ صَدَرَكَ وَوَدَعَنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ and remove from you your burden. I'm staying with the analogy of what's going on with the woman when she gets pregnant, when she's during that pregnancy, and when it comes to labor. This is, I say, written in this whole chapter, and it gives us therefore models of how to be in life. Remove the burden from your back. So, the birth of a child removes the physical burden of carrying a baby, similar to the removal of a figurative burden. So this woman, she's been carrying this burden, and it is a burden. And yes, if you've seen them at the top of the top of the process, looking for a seat, man. you can't have no compassion, no love, no mercy for that. That's a massive sacrifice that she's making. Do you understand that whenever a woman decides that she's going to have a baby and deliver it, let me say, I don't know the scientific, I got medical folks in front of me, the scientific terminology for, how can you say, au naturel, right? That particular situation is one where, you see how Shaitan works? Like Shaitan come through like, you know what these niggas doing? He's like, this is supposed to be Juma. What's going on? Let me survey this situation. See if it's what it's supposed to be according to my standards. I just got to point that out to you in case you didn't see it. Now, back to what I was talking about. The birth of the child removes that physical burden. And this woman who accepts to be pregnant and have that delivery, she's also accepting the potential to die. That's very real. Okay? The two chemicals that I want to mention to you right now is prostaglandins and oxytocin, we've already mentioned. They play roles in this process for causing the contractions and to help deliver the baby, thus relieving the mother of the weight and the discomfort of the pregnancy. That is, this is what Allah has done, right? And in this section where it says, وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, have we not removed wada'a? This wada'a, the entire surah is addressing laying down burdens and delivery. This wada'a speaks to the moment of pleasure that the woman feels sometimes during as well as after the labor and delivery of the child. That is, there's a moment when the child passes through that uterus, the last part passes through the uterus, and all of that labor and all of that forcing and all of that pain and all of those contractions, now it's over with the exit of that child from her womb. And there's a moment of pleasure there that only a woman in that case can have. It's inexpressible for as far as, well, we can imagine this, imagine that, but no. The only one who can get that is the woman who delivers a vaginal birth in that natural situation. As I've said before, I'm not making any judgments on anybody. I'm just telling you what the facts are. And so in terms of that delivery, that pleasure and pain moment, because this whole surah is marked with Osri Yusra. That's what's going on during the labor. During the labor there, that okay, push. I know I'm bringing back memories for some, but they had to put me out of the operating room. Wallahi, for Camila's birth, I was FYI at that time. You know, FYI, we don't play that mess, man. So it's like, so she's, I said, what you doing? He said, get him out of here, right? He put me out, FYI and all, right? Because it's a different operation that's going on. But the pain and the transformation that you see in the woman's face as she goes through all those, I mean, it's like omen, like, you know, like, but then when it gets delivered, and it's a pleasure that only she can have. And this is after all of those burdens related to the childbirth, from morning sickness up to that very delivery. Well, God is telling us the same thing, and this is something that you may not know. 69% of the midwives surveyed who have assisted in 206,000 births under this particular survey, 206,000 births have witnessed obstetrical orgasms. Obstetrical orgasms. That is, orgasms in the midst of all that pain. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, verily, with difficulty is the ease. With difficulty is the relief. And this portion, وَوَدَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ, the one that did gall your back. So the pains of labor often felt in the back, they are intense and they can be seen as a galling experience. The body releases beta endorphins to help naturally relieve this pain, providing a physiological form of relief. What I'm saying, God has said, what we might look at and see as all pain, Allah has, in the design of the physiology, taken care of the pain by nature, and He increases it in accordance with the needs of the... Allah is the doctor. Allah is the surgeon. Allah is the one that's providing the wherewithal, because He knows the body and the bodies that are involved with this. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And as we close this portion of the khutbah, know this about us and God. So I'm talking about the pregnancy and the labor and the delivery, but all they are signs. This is our life. Think about you and your situation personally. What you personally right now may feel yourself facing, and maybe you've been facing it for X number of days, weeks, months, I don't know, maybe years. Okay? Well, that's your labor. That's your labor. Is it burdening your back? Is it difficult? Is it hard? Allah is not absent. Allah is present. And the sign in this pregnancy and labor of the woman is only a sign of how you have to act. What does she do? The woman doesn't try to jump up off the bed, jump up off the operating table, says, let me out of here. I ain't going through this. No. You got to sit there and take it or give it, however you want to take it. All right? In the scheme of Allah, whatever burden, whatever difficulty, whatever challenge you're facing right now, if it's not just going away, poof, that's your thing. You got to deliver. You got to go through the labor. But you have to do so recognizing that God is not absent in the process, and Allah always knew and knows what it is that we're suffering. But he's saying, as he did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's always saying to us, haven't I done this, and haven't I done that, and haven't I done this in the previous surah? He's saying, okay, that's life. That's how it goes. Not the best way to say it, but I think you'll get it. Suck it up. And think on God. God, I know you're not absent. I know you're present. I know you see. I know you recognize. I need your help. Help me to hold on. Help me to hold up. Help me to resign myself to your presence in this. Help me never to doubt you. Never to think that you hate me and that you want to hurt me and that you want to put. I'm talking about someone talking to God. Once you have a personal relationship with God, is that understand, I know you're good. I know you're God. I know you're present. And I know with difficulty comes relief. And I know this too shall pass. If we believe that, then we're in good shape. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر. Working through these last verses here of Surah Al-Insyirah. It says, we relieved you of the burden and raised high the esteem in which you are held. When this childbirth process is complete, when it's complete, then the mother's sense of esteem and accomplishment, this is another thing. A woman who has had a baby and gone through what she's gone through. Yes, I know there are exceptions. We got postpartum psychosis and other. That's not what we're talking about. Those are the exceptions. And may Allah have mercy on them and help them and guide them, etc. But in Allah's design, there's a measure of pride. There's a measure of achievement, measure a sense of achievement, sense of accomplishment, sense of esteem. In the mud, I did that. She looks at that baby that she hadn't seen for all those months but had been rubbing her belly and feeling like the baby, and it was right there with her, but she hadn't seen it yet. And then finally, when she sees it, I did that. I did that. And the pride and the love, I'm going to send you back again. Go to the February 11, 2022 blog talk piece. You can get the details. I'm leaving out a lot of details right here, right now, that have to do with this whole process. But so as to get finished, the idea is that there's a rush of hormones. We've already talked about oxytocin. And after that delivery, there's an enhanced feeling of bonding and love, and her emotional state is elevated. In order to see something similar, look at the championship wins by sports teams and figures, well, even at the individual accomplishments, where, well, whatever, Michael Jordan's, you know, iconic crying, kissing the basketball, you know, was Kansas City Chiefs rolling down on the ground. Steph Curry said, what they gonna say now? So many championships. Muhammad Ali, I shook up the world. Look at all these championships. What's happening in that moment? What's happening in that moment is that that's all the stuff I went through. All those extra training and restricting and disciplining myself and doing when I didn't feel like doing and taking when I didn't feel like taking, but I kept the goal in mind, what it is that I'm trying to achieve, what it is I'm trying to accomplish. And when I accomplish that, I'm just overwhelmed Because all of that comes flooding into my mind, my heart, and my consciousness, knowing that I am now in possession of what I made all those sacrifices for. Then when you see that, you can get an idea of what a mother is feeling when she sees her child. Raise high the esteem, not only the esteem that others hold you in, but your self-esteem. That's another thing that told me, you need to work on your self-esteem. How do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, do you like what you see? Or are you telling yourself, you ain't about nothing, man. Let's try this. It works. Look yourself in the mirror. Look yourself in the eye. Look yourself in the eye like you're looking at another person. And say, I love you. Look in the mirror. See how you feel when you do that. You look at it. See if you can. Now, watch yourself now. Okay. Some of us can't even stand to look at ourselves and say that. Look at yourself. Look yourself in the eye and say, I love you. Smile when you say it. I love you. I love. Say it 10 times. I love you. I love you. I love you. See if you don't feel different. And do it day after day after day. As long as it's necessary. All right? So, have that in mind. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to do so briefly, inshallah. With these others I have said. When it says, raise high this day. And now, here comes the prayer. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَوْسُرِ يُسْرَ. These verses resonate deeply with the labor process, which we've talked about, which intense contractions are the difficulty. They are followed by moments of respite, which are the relief. The cycle of pain and relief during labor could be seen as a reflection of the existential pattern. Listen, brother and sister, God has told us, days of varying fortune do we send to men and men by turns. Please, please, please. Take it out of any perception that you have that it's abnormal to have a not good day. Not good days are a part of existing. What about not good weeks? That too. Months? Yeah, too. Years? That too. Ask Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal to him, didn't we find you astray? Didn't we find you poor? Didn't we find you an orphan? And didn't we change that situation? Okay, so get into that pattern. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed by things not being exactly the way you want them to be. That's life. That's life. And know this too. Anxiety and worry are your prayers for what you don't want. Anxiety and worry are your prayers for what you don't want. What does that mean? If all you're thinking about are your anxieties, all you think about is your worries, then that's what your consciousness is focused on. And what you're doing, you're driving those things that you're anxious about and worried about, you're actually driving them more towards you. So it's a dua that you're keeping up, maybe unintentionally, unconsciously. Doesn't matter, because the attention flows in terms of what you're paying attention to. That is, everything comes to you according to what you're paying attention to. And if all you're paying attention to is what's bad about everything, well, then things are just going to keep getting worse. Why? Because apparently that's what you want. In the matter of Surah, verse 7. So when you're free from your immediate task after birth, right? That work is done, but a new labor has just begun. Now, that breast that was expanded in the first verse, now it's time for it to deliver to the baby that was delivered. Okay, the baby came out, and here's the lactation. It's there, ready for the baby. That's that. We haven't even begun to talk about the raising of the child and what it's going to require, and the other challenges are coming. And that's the final verse. You can tie that in. The final verse says, when you're free from your immediate task, still labor hard. The parenting job, the role of a mother, the role of a father, in order to realize the goal and the aim that God created that creature for. That is now your job. That is now your job. And let's say this as we conclude. Still labor hard until your Lord turn all your attention. Brother and sister, I truly want us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, listen, are you as accomplished right now as you hope to be in the future? Do you think you're at the top of whatever your thing is? Excuse me for putting it that way. Are you at the top of it? Is there anyone, anywhere, is there a level above where you are right now in whatever it is that you're doing, hoping for good? Were there not challenges that you had to overcome and that you had to face in order to get to where you are right now? Even to get where you are right now, Osri Yusra, Osri Yusra, Osri Yusra. Now you have that. Oh, it, to somebody it's like, whoa, that's great. That's wonderful. Oh, man, alhamdulillah, mabruk. Okay, are you at the top of the game? Is that all there is? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْتَ. Okay, you got that. Don't rest on your laurels, as it said. Open up your eyes. Get ready for the next labor. Labor for the next level. Level up. Don't get satisfied. Yeah, your mortgage is paid, your rent is paid, the car is cool, and all that. Is that all it's about? What are you doing for the ummah? What are you doing for the building of ummah? Where's the bricks that need to be laid that you bring into the structure in order to make ummah exist, which is the ultimate marching order for all Muslims? What contribution are you making? What does your success have to do with that particular building? If it has nothing to do with that particular building, it's not really an accomplishment. Because the value of our development is to be put to use for وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّا يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. If it's all about clout and it's all about flexing and dripping and whatever else, nah, that's nothing. So have that in mind. When you're free from your immediate task, still labor hard. What is your next goal? And how does that next goal relate to your contribution to the master goal of building ummah? Make that the case. And to conclude, this is the last portion that we're going to deal with the women for now, during this era, whatever you call it. Brothers, treat the woman as the sacred being that she is. She's not God. She's not an angel. She's not. But she is something that Allah has created to make all the things that I'm talking about happen. I know you have to be patient with me, but you also, I got to get you this. So I feel like I cheated you. Listen. Laysa zakara kal untha. And the male is in no way like the female. And I thought, okay, what's one of the simple ways to make the value of the relationship clear? And it's this that I settled upon. The relationship is like the engine and the fuel. The engine and the fuel. The engine is in no way like the fuel. But what good is one without the other? What if you have the engine, but you have no fuel? But what if you have the fuel and you have no engine? You have to have both the fuel and the engine. Now I'm going to help you a little bit in terms of what I've resolved upon. I think the woman is more like the fuel and the man is more like the machine. The woman can energize us to put all of our machinery to work and generate products, Okay, I'm using that in the broadest sense. But without the fuel, what good is the engine? Think about it. أَلَهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سَنَةً وَلَا نَوْمٌ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ عَلِيٌّ عَظِيمٌ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ مُحَمَّدٌ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة من ذريات ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولي ولدي وللمؤمنين يوم يحكم الحساب Allah, we thank you for your graces, we thank you for your blessings, we thank you for your guidance, we thank you for blessing us to come to the door of Al-Islam. Oh Allah, make our hearts pure and sincere. Make our vision and our focus to be upon what you have prescribed for us. O Allah, bless us to be free from our own shortcomings and weaknesses. O Allah, protect us from being distracted. Protect us from being attracted to those things that are not good and not healthy for us, for our families, and for the community. O Allah, bless us to be builders of ummah without break, without let, without fear, without the discouragement that so many would put upon us. Oh Allah, bless us to be always encouraged and bless us to always keep you before us as the one who can be depended upon over and above all things for help, aid, and assistance. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله thank you for joining us this morning for University Dimension of Leadership الحمد لله we capped off the subject of the woman. I said capped off because it's not concluded, not that we could, but we decided to punctuate it there. Ramadan is right at the door. We have entered into the month of Sha'ban, mashallah, the month preceding Ramadan, so we're going to start adjusting our consciousness, awareness, etc., towards those matters in terms of that. So inshallah, as we mentioned, you can go back to February 11th, 2022 for some of the details that weren't addressed dealing with labor and the like. So you can get that there. So this becomes also one of those archive subjects that you can refer to in the future. I recommend that you continue to study until you feel a sense of ownership of the ideas there, because the great work of building Ummah never stops. And inshallah, we'll have a little more to say about that today, but of course not before we hear from you. So if you have comments that you'd like to share, go ahead and push one on your phone and come on through. Close the door here. All right, people, what you got to say for yourself? Push one on your phone and contribute to the conversation. All right. Let me see, I got to find my notes too. While you're making up your mind, let me see here. All right. All right. Even as it relates to, I just don't want to go on without hearing something from you. So I'm going to keep the pressure on you. Since this series has been capped off, and I know that there are those of you who've been with us for the whole ride. You've been with us for, which is actually multiplied by two, because for every one part, there's a part A. Like today was 11A for, or is 11A for 11. So that means there's been at least 20 segments on the woman when you include Friday and Saturday. What has it meant to you? I'm not looking for flowers. I want you to put yourself in a situation to express what you drew from it, what really resonated with you, what it means to understand what it says to you about our present and our future as a community. I'm saying a lot. Yeah, and you ask yourself, I know the difference between males and females, right? Men are more report talk and women are more rapport talk. So speaking in the public, there's a shyness from women that I do expect. But this has been all about you. And remember this, that there are things, there's charity that's done openly and there's charity that's done secretly. The open charity is best for modeling what you would like to see more people do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. So you do those things publicly
so that more people will be influenced and impacted by that behavior on your part. Private charity is for the strengthening of your own soul, meaning the other one strengthens your soul too, but it's a part of Ummah building. You should understand that as well. It's a part of Ummah building. When you do something publicly, it's not for showing off. It's not for pride. You're checking yourself, your taqwa, to be sure on that. It's for construction purposes. Let me do this so that I can influence others. That is, for example, when you see people see each other at the airport, right? Someone's greeting each other, somebody's getting off the plane and someone's waiting for them, and then you see them hug and embrace and hold to each other, you're being affected by what you're seeing because you can relate to, you can empathize with that experience. You can emulate that experience, and that experience is being duplicated vicariously in you. So that's how public good deeds are spread in a society, right? All right. Same way when it comes to your private deeds, that is relatively private deeds, those in your soul. I think I asked on one of the Instagram pieces we put up, weekly Facebook piece, where it said, do you have faith in your faith? Do you have faith in your faith? That's very important. You can say you believe, but do you really believe your belief? Do you really, do you feel that your faith is counterfeit? Do you feel like your belief is not real belief? And then sometimes, you have doubts. That's not a bad thing in the main to not be absolutely positively sure and say, I know that I'm a believer. You have to strike that balance. But one of the ways to identify the quality of your belief, the quality of your faith, is what you do. It's what you do. And so some things you do, and this is some of the verse that what we were on before we moved into the woman, was the idea of sadaqah, and we set of verses from 261 or so. We were going to go to the end of the chapter. Well, inside of those early verses, somewhere between 261 and 265, you do this tesbitan anfusahum. They do this for the establishment or for the certainty or for the proof for their own soul, proof from their own soul. So some of the private charity things that you do that just to show to, quote, yourself that your faith is real. So there are things that you have to do that you do them privately to prove that your faith is real. So it's for the establishment and the security and the proof. You are giving yourself receipts, literally and figuratively, from your own self. So I'm trying to give you reasons to check in. Because again, you don't know how what you may say may help somebody else, may benefit someone else as well. But that's the last I'm going to say about that. And otherwise, I'm moving on down the road. I'm not leaving. I'm just going with the subject matter to cap off the Saturday portion. All right, my shy people, I'm going to, when I go, I'm not looking at the screen, so mashallah. So Facebook folks, YouTube folks, you can put in the chat whatever you might, and that would be good as well. That being said, let's go on. The second part of what I was, I had included. I didn't. I knew I was going to be. I was going to be longer yesterday than usual because I was trying to close out, and I had this close out on the subject. And so I have this sense of, yeah, you know what you have in mind. All right, let's talk to 510-507. Can you speak up on the back in the background because I hear a reverberation?
I didn't know I was gonna get through that soon. I was just gonna listen for a while to be in the queue, but since I'm in, I might as well go ahead and.
People are shy this morning, man. I don't know what's going on. Brother Mark, he must be in school. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know how we live and grow and progress by connections that, you know, we make all the time. Connections with this and connections with that and old songs and commercials. And anyhow, with the... Juma yesterday, and then played this morning, and your analogy near the end about one being the fuel and one being the engine, mm-hmm. and how you progress. I mean, you need both of them, and it just made me a connection with. I mean, it made me think, and it's not a direct connection. I certainly don't want to make this a negative kind of. Connection, because that's not what I intend. But walking from another room, I need to go exercise. The thought was that, you know, I know that Allah created men and jinn for His service.
Yes.
And I know what the jinn was capable of and did, and grew to be some jinn and doing. In the world,
mm-hmm.
As an enemy to us, but Allah did not have to create it like that. You know, I've realized that, and then I think about there are primitive societies that have been discovered that have no sin in them, no lying, no stealing, no crime, but they're not progressed either. So you know, when you talk about the fuel and the engine. Then I thought about the jinn and men, and perhaps that's also a situation where we would not progress without that relationship.
Yes.
Allahu
Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Very good. Okay, stay tuned. No matter what you're doing, stay tuned because you spark. And that goes with our analogy too, because the fuel has to have a spark in order for it to do what it does in the engine. I'm going to go with that. Maybe controversy will get people involved. So you just raised something that it's truth, but it's controversial. And even your apology in making the connection of sorts when you said, "I'm not trying to be negative," but I'm just saying. No, you're seeing very well. Now I'm going to give you some confirmation for that intuition of yours, okay? Thank you very much. All right, y'all. All right. Put on your seatbelts now. Put on your seatbelt. You got to strap in for this one. I am very, very serious. You got to strap in for this one. So, alhamdulillah, since... Abdu'l-Wahid Taha, he's also one of the voices of the famous Hijra, alhamdulillah, that we listen to often. All right. Engine. We're talking about engine. We mentioned engine, right? Inside that word engine, you hear jinn. You hear jinn in it. And you think about the function of the engine, right? The engine is what drives the machine. When you talk about engine, then you're talking about drives. Let me go ahead and go slow with this, because I want to get it. There's just so much fodder for fun in this that I gotta check myself. That's the very thing we're talking about right now. All right, so let me do this. I'm gonna put a page up. I don't usually do this, but hey. Let's see what happens. All right. I'm going to share screen. Yeah, so those of you, whoever, you know, if you could be on Facebook and or YouTube at the same time, then do that. Because I'm going to, inshallah, do this live. All right. Right here. And we're just going to walk through what comes up. Let's put the Bismillah just for our protection, huh? All right, and we're gonna go through it as they come up, all right? As they come up, all right? So we started out. We mentioned engines, right? Now we know. We always talk about how the language of this society is a constructed language, very, very deliberate. I mean, there's something sort of less natural about the English language, especially American English language. It's doing work. It's doing work, right? And now, when we look at Imam Muhammad, so we're talking about pull out these little rules and these little tools, right? All right. So he said, there's the British, is that the British pound or the euro or what have you? That's the symbolism at work. In any case, so the imam says, whenever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. Wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret, right? And so when we talk about womb, right, there's a silent letter. And in that is a secret. There's a secret in that word, womb, right? And really the one of them is that the woman is just sacredly important. And that's known by the constructors, the constructors, I'll just move on, of the language. The woman, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us in the hadith that one of the three that would be at the throne of Allah in the day of, in Yawm al-Qiyamah, will be the womb. And the womb is just the sacred reality that's embodied literally and figuratively by the woman. So the womb. So when you take, if you take that womb and just add the A in, the B is silent, right? So it is talking about the woman, just how sacred the woman is. Let's go back up here. So in engine, I could take away, and I could still say engine. It says engine, right? But so what is that? So what's the role of the E? Well, for those who know, then the E is a silent letter, and that silent letter is saying that there's a secret in it, right? All right, what does the engine do? The engine is what drives the machine, right? The engine is what drives the machine. Okay, now, listen, Imam Muhammad, I'm trying to give you little rules. You got to take your own notes to little rules. So I already gave you one rule. I've said it many times before, but now if you want to go ahead and try to make a quick list as we walk through this live, then one of them is wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. So you walk around with that in your consciousness. You read, especially English language words, you read that with that consciousness, with that sensitivity. Okay, so you have the silent letter. I'm not going to make a list. You make your own list. But I will say this. In terms of Imam Muhammad, this is a rule that I set out in front of you so you can own that. Language, logic, sensitivity. That's a formula. That's a formula that comes out of Imam Muhammad's, you can call it epistemology, pedagogy. Yeah, Muhammad's language, pedagogy, epistemology. Pedagogy is method of teaching. Epistemology is what is knowledge. That is how you say what is knowledge, or how you determine what is knowledge has to do with your epistemology. So language, logic, sensitivity. Okay, so once you understand, you know, that whatever the word is, we're talking about engine, right? Just, that's the word. I'm just saying that's a word, right? All right, for every language, i.e. words, language is also a system, like a philosophy, right? Then you have logic. Logic is, there's a behavioral expectation. If I use a word in a certain way, right, then I am also calling forth the logic for the way that I'm using that word, right? So, if I say bits, and I ask you what does bit, that's plural in this case, what is bit? Well, see, I could be talking about horses, the bit in a horse's mouth. I could be talking about computers, the bit as relates to computer, or if I'm talking about, you know, part of a story, right? Well, I'm just giving you a bit of, or the taste of something. Yeah, I'll have a little bit, right? Okay, so the point is that once you a certain language, all words are from a certain context. They get their meaning from the context in which they're used. And then once you know that context, use that word, then inside of that system, wherever the word comes from, bit from computer, bit from horses, i.e. whatever it is, husbandry or whatever it is, or bits from something else, right? Then there's behavior that goes, and that would be the logic. Whatever system the word comes from, whatever context the word is being used, it is also bringing with it the logic, the behavioral expectation for what it is that you're reading, right? So inside of that system, so if I'm talking computers, then I'm using computer language, and then I'm using computer logic, and then all my behavior has to stay consistent with that vocabulary inside of that particular context. That's reality. If you want to go into whatever you're going into, people talk about the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you got to talk like this, and you have to understand like this in order to really use it as a tool to guide your life and your behavior in that work that he brought the language for. All right? So once you understand the context of a word, i.e., and understand the language system that it's coming out of, and so you can see language system, there's a grammar. So you can have the concrete technical grammar, but then there's also the term that's used is jargon. There's jargon in medicine, there's jargon in engineering, there's jargon in legal system, there's jargon in philosophy, there's jargon. That jargon is the description of the language that the insiders understand. And so, whatever, I can say TL semicolon BR, something like that. This is just one little thing that I, whatever, picked up whenever. Where it says too long didn't read. Otherwise, but if you don't know anything about that language system and that symbol system, it's like it doesn't mean anything to you. Okay, and so when you understand the system that the word is coming out of, and then when you understand what it means, then you understand what behavior should follow in that context. All right. So I'm saying this is what you have to do with Imam Muhammad's language. That's true for everything I talk about. I could be talking about dentistry. I could be talking about architecture. I can be talking about philosophy. It doesn't matter. Everything follows this system, language, logic, sensitivity. Okay, so when you talk about the language of Imam Wazuddin Muhammad, then you have to understand the language, logic, and sensitivity that he brings. What is sensitivity in this? The sensitivity is, let's go. I'm talking to myself while I'm talking to you. because I don't want to rush over this. I don't want to run over this. I am actually, because we don't have formal courses for all of you, there are those who are part of the ACU Institute. They have access to this. So all they have to have is the question in some cases regarding it. But since I'm talking round figures to the public right now, then take a little more time because I'm not just going to flash flex or entertain or definitely not play with this, okay? Because this is not a toy, okay? So language, logic, okay, then sensitivity. So here comes something on sensitivity, right? And sensitivity, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and yes, you have, see these things, hadith, Quran, what Imam Muhammad has said, etc., they're all there present. Let me use the analogy. They're all floating around in my quote-unquote consciousness, right? And anybody else who's studied the Imam extensively, I'll put it that way, and the Quran extensively. It's no flowers on myself. It is what it is. So they're all floating around. So that when something comes up, say, oh, okay, well, yeah, bring that over here and make that point. Oh, okay, bring that over here. That's what I'm doing with you right now. So language, logic, sensitivity. So here's the thing about sensitivity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that he made a bashar. He made a bashar. That is, the Adam was a bashar. Min salalatin min tin, right? From a quintessence of clay, right? From mud molded into shape, right? But bashar means sensitivity, right? Bashar means sensitivity, the sensitive skin that we have, right? So what does that mean then? That means also that our body gets formed by our language. That sensitivity becomes your body. That becomes your psychic body. Okay. Do this. Trust me, we're headed for the gym. We're headed for the gym. That these lessons are very important. So when you have language plus logic plus sensitivity, when you adopt that, when you take up a new language and everything that goes with it, new language brings new logic. New logic brings new sensitivity. That new sensitivity is your new psychic body. And that's one of the ways you should understand how words make people. This is what Imam Muhammad did. He gave us new language. That new language gave us a new logic. That new logic gave us a new sensitivity. Those things combined gave us a new psychic body. And those words made us a new people. Right? So you can put it like this. Uh-uh. Where are we at here? That's what has happened to us who subscribe to the language of Imam. Now, and whoever takes up new language, there were some people who used to subscribe to Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi. They were consistent with his language, his logic, his sensitivity, but there was something else that was, something was off. Then they changed the language. And that changed language change their logic. And that changed logic changed their sensitivity. And so they became something new in the context of different than what they were when they were consistent and subscribing to the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. MashaAllah, that happens. And that's a good place to go ahead and go to the jinn, engine, right? So engine is the word. There's an English word. And we say Imam Muhammad's language, which gives us a logic and gives us a sensitivity. Okay, with that sensitivity, let's take a look at that. Oh, and let's say this too. This is an amplification of the issue of sensitivity, right? Because Imam Muhammad again says, all eyes are seeing through water, right? All eyes are seeing through water. So sensitivity is your perception. When your sensitivities change, your perception changes, right? And the way you see things is different, okay? So new language, new logic, new sensitivity, new psychic body, that also means that you're going to have new perception. So that means that the eye that you look at everything with, you look at plants, you look at whatever, sun, moon, star, animal, people, you look at them now through that lens, that sensitivity, so you have a different perception of everything. And that perception is the way that you read, the way that you understand, et cetera. Okay, so now when we look at engine and we look at the word engine and then we see the silent letter in the word engine, then we look for a secret because now we have the sensitivity. There must be a secret in here because there's a silent letter here. Now, it depends on if you got time, you got the interest, then you go into it. But it is always true, but whether you have the time or the interest in going that way, that of course is up to you. Today, since this is brought up in the context of women, a lot of things that we haven't said about women, some of them we're going to say right now, and there are those that have, as Waheed, who brought it up, saying that, you know, yeah, there's some potential negative connotations for it, but that's not the intention, but that's true. And here's the thing, going back to the verse, the beginning verse of Al-Insharah, so that's a shah, where it says, Alam Nashra. We said this, but I'm going to hit it and quit it so we can get that. So there's the positive and the negative is right there together. The positive and negative is right there together. That's the nature of the surah. But the nature of the surah and the nature of the surah is also telling us the nature of reality. And in the nature of the reality, positive and negative are always right there together as potential. It's called qadr. What? Well, qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. And the potential for benefit and the potential for harm, that measure is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in everything, there is some khayr and some sharr, some potential benefit and some potential harm, something positive and something negative. In everything. That's life, that's reality, etc. All right, so it is when we discover truth about things, when we discover the reality of things. Inside of that discovery, if you got it right, then there's some positive and there's some negative. Some situationally, some things are more positive than negative, and situationally, some things are more negative than positive, but it's all situational. Because something that can be bad in one context becomes good in another context. And that's the kind of mind, heart, spirit, perception, sensitivity that we have to move through the world with so that by God's help and taqwa, mashallah, inshallah, God said, okay, well, God said it in the Quran. It may be that you love something that you should hate. It may be that you hate something that you should love. It may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. That's what God is saying. So God is saying, okay, so you go with the language, logic, and sensitivity of that awareness. It's like, you know, everything that you experience as bad is not necessarily all bad, right? And there are a lot of little parables that tell that story, little fables that tell a story. And I'm not going to try to bring those up right now. The point is just to understand that that's the nature of life, and that's the nature in the first words of that surah. Alam nasha, have we not? Nashra, leka sadrak, have we not? So you have a positive and a negative. Positive and negative right there together. Okay, so it is when you discover the truth of a thing. There's positive and negative. There's positive and negative about men. There's positive and negative about, you know, whatever. Potential benefit, potential harm. Let's not just say positive and negative. Potential benefit, potential harm. You got the symbol of yin and yang, right? That circle, Taoist symbol, yin and yang. You have the two paisleys, one white, one black. Then you have a little bit of black in the white paisley and a little bit of white in the black paisley. And so that means there's potential benefit, harm. For this description. Let's get to the gym. So you have drives, right? One of the ways of understanding the jinn is to understand the drives. The drive is also like force, right? That's just, let's call them forces, right? And work equals force times distance. We learned this as an FOI, right? Work equals force times distance. It's like, if you want to know if you've done any work, then look at what was supposed to be moved and how far did it move. If it hasn't moved, then no work has been done. But if something moved, it was moved by force, right? It was moved by force, right? So the engine drives the machine, but it's also the force in the machine. The force is in the machine. And, okay, it'll come back. So in terms of working the force time distance, that you have the engine and you have the drives, right? So now, what are we getting to? There's the jinn right there. Again, one of the ways to understand jinn is drives and forces. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he created, let me put this, because it just came back through a little bit, so put this word up here. We're getting to the science of what we're talking about. Right, so engine is the driving the forces in the machine, right? In us, it's the jinn, okay? And then Allah says in the Quran that fire free from smoke. Not gonna go into it. Because it's not something I have consciously done, but right here, right now, at this moment, right now, those are the old engines. Those are the internal combustion engines. Those are the internal combustion engines that are driven on oil and fuel and petroleum, et cetera, et cetera. All those were they gave birth to the industrial age. We're not in the industrial age anymore. We moved on to another age, and right now we have cars. We have electric cars, right? So the drive and the force for machines, thinking mainly about cars right now, and then so many other power plants, et cetera, are driven by so many other things. You have nuclear power, you have the electric power, you have wind power, you have hydropower, blah, blah. But in the original, when we have this language, this engine, it was preserving of the that meaning in the reality of the time. You call it an engine. Why? Because the drives and the forces are there. Why jinn? You know, the jinn, and even in the English language, in cowboys and engines. Cowboys and engines, right? And then the engines were actually seen as jinn, right? Wow, wild, you know, creatures, uncivilized, uncontrolled, or whatever. Okay, so Jindra. So Quran says fire free from smoke, right? So in terms of that, we learned also this has to do when you talk about us specifically as individuals, fire free from smoke. It's our drive, and it's our forces. Now let's go ahead and we're gonna get back to the other one, but let's go ahead and put this up just for the sake of getting it done. I'm going to do it this way. If you take one of these to be one of Hawa, one of these is Eve, and Hawa, and this other one is passion. Peace be upon him says, none of you truly believes until his ahwa'ahum, until his passions follows what I have brought, right? So when we talk about Hawaii, we talked about Hawaii. We've already been through this. I'm not going to do it right now. Hawaii, when you understand Hawaii is paradise and hell, quote unquote, notwithstanding even the most recent fire there. But it's also, Hawaii is called also the land of volcanoes. That even that black sand that is against the law for you to take that black sand out of Hawaii. That black sand is volcanic sand, right? So in Hawaii would be, the translation of it is my passions. That's the translation of what? The 50th state of the union, right? We won't talk about Israel as the 51st state, but the 50th state of the union. 50, it's got to stop right there. 5 times 10. Five times 10 is being conscience, having your five senses come into your conscience, right? That's like the height of the application of the five senses, and that's what you have to be able to have in order to get one and avoid the other, in order to get to paradise and avoid the other. And also jinn, so we're back to jinn. Listen, think about it. I'll just keep tapping these things in where they show up. Jannah, right? That's paradise. And then the jinn, they're from the same root. And this is a hidden creature, basically. So what is there a relationship between if they share roots, they also share in some ways, they share a semantic field of meaning. They're in a web of meaning, right? All right. So here you go, where you're Suleiman. Just trying to get to, let's go ahead and just do this way. I'm not going to do everything. I'm just putting these notes in front of me. Suleiman. Okay, Suleiman, what did he have? He had the Ifrit of the jinn in his council. Right, and he used jinn, and they're actually in the Arabic. The term actually in the Quran, speaking of what Suleiman used, was shayateen, which is the plural for devil. Look it up. The ifrit of the jinn, and then he used the jinn as divers, right? As divers and builders. Sounds like an engine, doesn't it? And the Quran has an entire chapter, right? Entire chapter entitled the jinn. And the Prophet said, we all have a jinn. All have skin. And he says, but Allah has helped me come mine, so I'm free from his mischief, and he only commands me to do good. Right? So he calls his jinn to submit with the help of God. And that's what Yusuf says. Inna nafsa la amaratu bisu'in illa ma rahima rabbi. Says, surely the nafsa la amaratu, that's the jinn state before our jinn is in submission and before we have come into control of our jinn. It's like the jinn state before, and you can only do so. You can only get that conversion, as the Prophet told us, and as Yusuf says also in the Quran, you can only do that with the help of Allah, with the mercy of Allah, with the help of Allah. Mercy of Allah is what's mentioned in the Quran. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, with the help of Allah. All right. Ramadan is coming. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It says that when Ramadan begins, the gates of hell are locked and the gates of paradise are open. So you can look at that as قَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. It's like the potential for harm is reduced and the potential for benefit is increased. Why? قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَانَ كَمَا قُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is, fasting has been prescribed for you. It's a medicine that we need to take in order to make sure that our psychic body becomes and remains healthy, right? La'alakum tattaqun, that you learn taqwa. But this taqwa is this inward guarding consciousness, the ability to control and forces in your own being. That's what Ramadan is about, the revelation of the Quran. And let me go ahead. Okay. Let's move on. Anybody, you know, you want to put a question in text, I will go back. I'll go back and look at them before I actually close out. But let's stay with this, because I'm really aiming at the woman and that. So, all right. You know, there's a good... You know, we played Shaka Khan's I'm Every Woman, because it does speak to that. So if you go over those lines, you can get a lot of truth about the woman and what's possible in every woman, right? That is what she said. That's true. The other one, you know, Gladys Knight. Where Gladys Knight has one and said, if I were your woman, da 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 da. Much truth in that too, but the one reason that I don't play that, I don't think I played it. The one reason I didn't play it or wouldn't play it, is that something about you'd be weak as a lamb. That's a problem. It sounds good. But who wants a woman that would make him as weak as a lamb? So now I got to let that go. But the point is that these are the powers that the women have. Now, in that movie that had that, excuse me, time is running, so I got to move on, that has that jungle fever background to it, 1,000 years of yearning, or some 3,000 years of learning, that Idris Elba and that Tilda Swinton, where, you know, he was the jinn, you know, from way back in Solomon's time and blah, 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 and they talked about Sheba, and then they, you know, all kind of, you know, lugs in that. Not going to go into it, but the bottom line is that those things that the Quran corrects about, lies that were told on Solomon about, you know, witchcraft and black magic and whatever else those kinds of things. The Ifrit was mentioned in the movie, so they know what they're talking about. And then when Solomon was doing what he was doing, supposedly it's supposed to be wrapped up in poetry or whatever, there's a scene where he said he's writing Arabic. He's writing Arabic. I'm not absolutely certain that Solomon was an Arab in that sense, but I think that that's the hint to the other players in the game that, you know, we're twisting Quranic stuff in this mix right here. But the point is that the role that the jinn and passions and drives have to do with everything. All right, now. So, okay, engine drive. Oh, that's good. Let's cover this part right here. And then I'm going to just kind of close it out and go to whatever it is that you all might have to say, right? We say, and I say it as one of the primary definers of the woman, you won't see this. I'm looking at something else right now. Yeah, I say the woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. The woman is an ayah to be read. The woman is a walking embodiment of life, and what life is in its nature and how it should be responded to, right? I just want to focus on that last line. Okay, I'll copy and paste. I'll go ahead and copy and paste the whole thing. Excuse me. All right. This has to do with natural selection, right? Natural selection is just, you know, just language as relates to how evolution is impacted. Don't think Charles Darwin every time you hear evolution. That's a distraction. Allah is Rabbil Alameen. He's the guardian evolver. So Allah does evolve things from stage to stage, alhamdulillah. Now, the way that the materialists and those others that have another plan use that rule and principle in creation for social Darwinism and the like, forget that. Let that go. However, the woman is the embodiment of natural selection. When we talk about Mother Nature, all right, natural selection. Natural selection has to do with okay, what is the best way to be in order to survive? What's the best way to be under these circumstances and in this environment? What are the adaptations that are necessary in order to survive, right? So you have this quick language of survival of the fittest. Okay, that's a simple way of saying it. But the point is that in terms of if I'm from a cold region, if I'm from a cold environment, then there are certain ways that I have to adapt or I'm going to die. If I'm in a hot region, there are certain ways that I'm going to have to adapt or I'm going to die. There's certain kinds of food and hydration and reproductive possibilities in an environment, and either I'm going to have to be able to adapt to the nature of circumstances as they stand, or I'm going to die. That's what's called selection pressure. So when you look at, when you're in a given environment, there are certain selection pressures, all right, for adaptation. I don't know how quick I can say this, but I'll say it. Negroes, right? Negroes were created on the plantation, and there were certain selection pressures in order to survive. And those selection pressures were whatever the slave master said, you have to be this way and don't be that way. If you are way other than we expect you to be, we're going to kill you. And all y'all watch this, because we're going to kill this one right here to let y'all know this is what's going to happen to you if you continue to act the way you are. That's selection pressure. That's selection pressure, so you're pressured in the interest of your own survival to not look the slave master in the eye, to not talk back, to not act like you're human, to not act like you know, la, 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 la. That's selection pressure. If the creature under that selection pressure survived, it's because they adapted to what the environment that they were in demanded. And that's how the chattel slave was dehumanized and made into a Negro, a brand new creature. Okay? Selection pressure. So when we talk about natural selection, that's what it's talking about. Now, brothers, the woman, she is natural selection. She is natural selection. She is Mother Nature, right? She does play on words. It's kind of play on words, but it sounds, right? She makes demands. Read otherwise, she makes the men. Play on words, right? Demands. If you can meet her demands, then you will be the man. She got a lot of demands, right? We're talking about nature, right? But if you can meet her demand, you will be the man, right? Sometimes that, you want too much. But mashallah, maybe not. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not the one. I can't meet your demand. Oh, mashallah, then may God give you what I want to understand. I want to take it in the best possible way, but it's hard to do that in this way. When it says, may God give you what you deserve, right? But I don't mean that in a vengeful way right now. I don't mean it. It's like, okay, maybe I'm not the one that can meet your demand. That's your nature. That's what your nature calls for. I'm not at that place right now that I can meet your demand. So I can't be the man for you. Okay. So if she has made that decision, well, then you just excused and dismissed that male because he's not your man, because he can't meet your demand. And it's the nature of the woman's demand. This is, well, I told you the story about, and this is nature, about the way that a particular bird makes it. Two males may be competing for this female bird, to become mated, if you will. And so the natural ritual calls for each of the males have to build a nest. The males build the nest. And when they build the nest, then the female bird, she's off at a distance watching these two males build their nest. Okay, when one male is finished, he flies away from the nest, and he's at a distance, and then she comes to that nest, and she jumps on it and does the best she possibly can to break the nest down, right? If the nest breaks down, then he's done. He's got to go find another potential mate and build another nest, hopefully improved to female that's, quote-unquote, left weighty, whatever you want to call it, to break down the nest that he's capable of building in it. And given that happens, then they'll live happily ever after. Mashallah. Okay, but after this one fails over here, then the female goes to test the other nest of the one who is building in competition. And if it doesn't break down, then she says, come on in. All right, so now they have a home. But the point is that there is the effort on the part of the female to break down what had been built up by the male. I'm saying, so you see this image in nature, ayah. That's a sign. So when the woman makes demands and when she seems to be, man, you sure putting a lot on it. I mean, I can't talk for your own particular situation, but A, one of the pieces that you have to put in the equation, if this relates to you, one you have to put into the equation is that, okay, well, maybe, you know, her demands, that's just her nature. It could be something else in the context of, you know, whatever, past drama, past trauma. I don't know. I can't say. The point is that you don't think that that there should be no demands put on you by the female, because that's her job. Her role is actually to improve us by nature. So she has a proclivity to be critical, i.e., which is to critique. It doesn't always feel like constructive criticism. Sometimes it feels like nagging. Sometimes it feels like, oh, it's too necessary. You're doing too much. Okay. And sometimes maybe it is, because we're all imperfect. But I'm saying to my brother, it's like, don't just read it as all negative, because God said in the Quran, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. And that's your woman. That's your woman. I'm not going to go back over all these khutbahs that we've been talking about, but the Prophet has told us this, right? So that's a part. So she is natural selection. I was speaking to the other day to a young man who was, you know, pursuing a possible mate. Yeah, I took him, just tried to say, you know, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's like, nah, she like turned me down. It's like she wanted someone that was more established, more, you know, had more things in place, right, in terms of that, right? And so mashallah, I understood that. Me knowing, I have the sense of this young man in potential, and by comparison to so many others, it's like, yeah, he's still like, let's call it diamond in the rough, but in terms of his character, disposition, spirit, good nature, charitableness, all those kinds of things, even look and strength, right? So I don't, you know, notwithstanding that, say, okay, well, because he understood that, you know, well, Brother Ma'am, you said, you know, sometimes women need to be willing to work with. You know, you got to see the potential, and then you have to work with that potential, because when we're talking about making demand, that's also the woman has to see herself as the Quran says. It says you are like cultivated earth. Your women are like cultivated earth to you, sister. If you see a good seed coming towards you, that is a potential man, a man that shows a male that shows that they have the capacity for climbing up the ladder. They have aspirations. They have goals in mind. They have some things they want to do. They have drives, right? It's like, okay, they might not have everything right now, but when you become the fuel in their engine, shoot, you don't know what you're, and for a long time. So don't play yourself. I'm gonna go ahead and put it that way. Don't play yourself. It's like, you got to have what I got. And, you know, you ain't got his. Okay, well, that's why you where you're at in some cases. All right, let me back up out of that a little bit. Now, so, all right, so this is her nature. So, brothers, so don't be sweating out, you know, in some extreme and wrong kind of way. The pressure that comes from your partner, i.e., I'm talking about wife now. I'm talking about your intended. Now, everybody got different kind of living situations, but let me tell you, remind you again. If you've had intercourse with that woman, you've married her by nature. That's why it feels like that. I don't think I'm saying too much. I'm just telling you the truth. It's like, even if there might not be no papers, but all the demands are pretty much the same. Why? Because by nature, that's it. The paper was created by the organizers of this society, right? nature is created by God. And when that connection is made, that connection is made. And the same word for conjugal relations is the same word for marriage. All right? That means things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So if conjugal relations equal marriage in the language system of Al-Islam, then when you had intercourse with her, you married her. It wasn't halal if there's no follow through, but you are married. Next, all right. So, engine, where are we at now? Good. Yeah, we're at the end of our morning. Here is all the things that we've been saying and the connection with the issue of the jinn, right? We got to be a couple of extra minutes since I did this. Have you ever seen this word? Hysterical. He's hysterical, right? Hysterical. Let me see. Does this little thing work? I haven't done this for so long. Let's see. Tools. Smart lookup. Excuse me. Hysterical. Yeah. Here it says, I guess you can see this. I hope. Oh, come on. Yeah, you see that. All right. So, hysterical. It says, on the first order, it says, deriving from or affected by uncontrollable extreme emotion. That's the definition for hysterical. Let's go ahead and put that there. Hysterical. You have to go all the way back to early history, talking about the condition. This used to be described as condition of women having to do with sexuality. It has to do with their sexuality. Part of me wants to say Masters and Johnson, may or may not be correct. Okay, but that's hysterical. All right, watch this. Is that how you spell that? Hysterectomy. You see that? Hysterectomy. Let's just do it like this. Come on, what's going on here? So hysterectomy is the surgical removal of the uterus and cervix. So you have hysterical. All right. So you can take that off of there. Then ectomy is that. Okay, so here's hysterical has to do with uncontrolled extreme emotion. Doesn't that sound like a gin? Uncontrolled emotions, passions, drives, etc. My passions, all right? Uncontrolled, that's his. But what's the root? Hyster. The surgical removal of the uterus and cervix. And who the woman goes to see to help decide as to what, if that hysterectomy is needed. They go to a gyno, that gynecologist. What's the root of this word? This gyno is like, it goes like that. Gyno. gyno is added to that root. Then you have the gynecologist. So what's left? See, they teach us to say the word in a certain way so it can be hidden in plain sight. What gynecologist is one who is expert in terms of the female anatomy. But what is that? The gym. That is, this society has made a very clear association between the woman and the gym. All right? And so some of the horrible, horrible things that have been done in the world at large, in the Muslim world in particular, clitoridomy and all those kinds of things, that's from a horrible misperception, misinterpretation, wrong language, logic, and sensitivity towards the female. So the woman is associated with the jinn. We could talk about the Samiri, you know, and look up the words and look at names associated with the Samiri, and you'll find some important connections there. So, all right. So a part of this, and again, this also, we haven't even talked about the woman being made from the rib that the Bible talks about, and that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also talks about. Let's see. I'm just going to put it in front of you for a screenshot, right? It's going to take too much time. The bottom line is that I'm just summary speaking right now, that the woman being made from the rib. And I think the report says from the highest part of the rib. And to try to straighten her is to break her. And again, language, logic, sensitivity. If you read and interpret that wrong, then to try to straighten her is to break her. It's sort of like she's crooked. So now you got the negative side of the jinn and all the other attitudes that go with that interpretation, and that's the sensitivity that you have towards women because of the false language, false logic, and the false sensitivity that comes from it. But the point is that in her form and in her nature is a benefit. And if you try to change her, make her somehow unnatural from the way that Allah has designed her, as opposed to embracing that, which includes that comes to you from her that you tend not to like, if you are not accepting of that as a part of her nature and unable to see the value in that nature for your improvement in the scheme and the design of God, then you will try to make her something unnatural. That is to break her, and that is also to lose the benefit that Allah put in her for you. So much of what I said is saying that those things that we as men most often just read as just pure negative about the women, some of those things are the main things that we need to take a breath, step back, and resign ourselves in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his design and his plan to get the benefit that Allah has put in her for us. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But, mashallah, Allahu alam, and I pray that Allah would guide me to a clarification of any misperception that I have in this regard and any misinformation that I've shared in this regard. But I, at this moment in time, I have no doubts about what we've shared, and this is only a portion. Allahu alam, this is no boast. It is what it is, man. So... Yeah, we got to get it straight. And we haven't even we haven't even talked about the man, right? And inshallah, we will sometime in the future. So let me see how I can. I'll go ahead and say this anyway. I don't know. What should I call it? I don't know. UDL, the woman live. Let's call it that. Let's call it that. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, that's going to be it for us today. Thank you, Waheed, for kicking it off, my brother. And so let me go ahead and acknowledge, recognize those of you who are joining us on the other platforms. Alhamdulillah, Brother Jerome, assalamu alaikum. Abdulaziz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Abu Hassan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Dante, the 50th state, five sisters controlling the whole. Okay, we can work with that. Alhamdulillah. Like me, her demands to be the man. Okay, her demands, I don't know. Kind of miss me. I'm like, hit me with a clarification while I'm still here. And if you're seeing what I'm saying right now, give it. Oh, okay. Maybe in the next comment you made that. That's not allowed. Her demands make him the man, comparing and contrasting the male species fighting for a female species. Signs in the earth that we can reflect. Alhamdulillah. So I'm going to put it into my reflection hopper, my dear brother Pickens. Inshallah. We'll do that. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we have entered into the month of Sha'ban. So, inshallah, Ramadan is upon us shortly. Look into the specialties. I'm sorry, it's not in my memorization. But Sha'ban, there's some special things that we can do in the month of Sha'ban to get those extra benefits. That Allah offers. You know, it's like Allah gives us special coupons at certain times. It's like you need to collect these coupons, get these benefits, because you can cash them in this world and in the next, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.